Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 186, the first three stanzas. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thou, O God, my cry. Let thy salvation come to me and lift me up on high. 186, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
The reading for this evening can be found in the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle, to the Hebrews, and thereof chapter 10, the first 22 verses. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that their worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he hath said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, it is in this day, in the midst of thy church, that we may commemorate what thou hast accomplished for thy people, and which thou hast decreed in eternity, and which thou hast brought about and fulfilled in the time, to deliver all thy church, that thou mayest indeed make them perfect, as we have heard those sacrifices continually made year by year, not able to make the comers thereunto perfect, neither to take away the consciousness of their sins. And thou knowest each and every one of us what lives in our consciousness, for we each have to appear before God. We have to give an account before thee of all that we have done whether it be good or whether it be evil. And by nature, we put away, far away from us, the evil day. But Thou dost give life in the lives of Thy children, and that they might know the truth, and that they might feel their obligation and their accountability before Thee. And Thou knowest the burden that Thou placest then upon their shoulders. And then they do feel that they are not able to stand before Thee to give an account when they shall be asked one question. They shall not be able to give an answer, nor a thousand questions. They shall not be able to give an answer. Lord, they need that Thou wouldest take away from them all their iniquity and all their sin, and Thou wouldest accomplish it in Thy own sacrifice, when Thou wilt bow Thine head and give up the ghost. Oh, then it was so difficult for Thy disciples, for Thy followers, when we may see them standing about Thy cross, Thy servant John, and Thy own mother in the flesh, for whom Thou didst show such a compassion, even in Thy most awful agonies. Lord, that Thou may remember all Thy church, because that it can be so confusing for them when the reality of their life shows that they must go deeper and deeper into the knowledge of their sin, and that they are not able to pay that price. Then it is necessary that everything be stripped away from them. And Thou knowest how that they do lose from their side, and that they do sometimes despond. Lord, that Thou may look upon them in this day, that Thou mayest remember them and grant them a little entrance into that blessed mystery that Thou hast accomplished upon that cursed tree, when Thou hast made a way for the chiefest of the sinners to again return into the communion of Thy blessed Father, that Thou mayest remember each and every one of us. Because by nature we have no desire for these things, and it is a matter of form and custom, which is so good yet, to come around Thy word in Thy house of prayer in commemoration of this Thy deed of love. For greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And Thou hast done it, Thy servant did say, even while that we were enemies. But Thou wilt make of enemies friends. Oh, that Thou may make them so also in this hour, that Thy Spirit may be sent from above, Thou who hast accomplished the deed, that Thou mayst with Thy Father send Him forth, that it also may be applied in the life of us and of our dear children, that we could not miss Thee, and that we may be given to know what our sin is, and that we may be given to know what the grace of God is in and through His dear and only begotten Son. Oh, look on us then, Lord, and then for so many weeks together we have considered further and further a little bit of that suffering, and now it has come to its climax, when thou didst even give thy blood to the pouring forth thereof, that it may be even unto thy death, not taken from thee, but given by thee, crying out into a Father, into thy hands, I commend my spirit, and bowing thy head, and giving up the ghost so willingly, oh, that we might see that through death thou hast conquered death, and that we may be given a little knowledge of that blessed mystery for the comfort of our own poor souls. Wilt thou look on all this world, for thou knowest that we are steeped in iniquity in a way, and that has not been since this world began, and thou hast punished the world with a flood, and thou hast punished Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone from heaven. And that day is approaching wherein that thou wilt come on the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead, wherein the elements shall melt, and this earth shall burn with a fervent heat. Oh, that thou may give us then to hasten for our life's sake, that thou would turn the nations also unto thyself, because thou hast said, and I, if I be lifted up, it will draw all men unto me. Oh, that thy word then may go forth to all the nations of this world, that thou as that blessed sacrifice and may be proclaimed in the midst of sin and iniquity in this world, that those who are proud may be brought low, and that the crooked places may be made straight, and that thou thyself may bring in a church, a great multitude that shall serve thee, not one of them left behind of that 144,000 that thou hast elected from that never begun eternity. And when they shall come from the east and from the west, that we and our children may not be left behind, having heard that word all our life long, and having become so accustomed unto it, so that it seems that there is nothing that is able to touch us anymore. But Lord, thy Spirit is a mighty Spirit. It is an almighty Spirit. It is harder, it is mightier than the hardest heart. And it is able to break the hardness of the heart, and able to make the coldest of the hearts to melt. Oh, that thou would bring us then with weeping and with supplications to thy blessed footstool, and that that which thou hast accomplished on that cursed tree may indeed become unto us the balm of Gilead, for there is a physician there for those that are wounded. Oh, that thou may remember all those that bring thy word then over the length and breadth of this whole world, that this that thou hast done may be proclaimed in the midst of all the sin and the iniquity, and that men may be brought to the way of true repentance, and that they may be drawn by thy love and by thy goodness, and that thy grace may be made manifest to those who are guilty even of the greatest crimes in this world. For there is none that is too wicked, and there is none that is too low, and there is none that is too sinful, and there is none that cannot be redeemed by thee and by thy great power, for whom the case is impossible for thee to solve, O Lord, for thou wilt bring sinners unto thyself. Oh, that we may be given to know it also, each and every one, young and old. Remember us then in this evening, whether here or in our homes, listening by church telephone. Remember all the afflicted. Be with those that mourn. Be with those that are lonely. Be with those who carry about serious diseases in the body that it is possible that we do not even know yet. O Lord, wilt Thou cause us to hasten for our life's sake. Give wisdom to doctors. Bless the means that are used to the recovery of the sick. And wilt Thou draw all men unto Thee. Remember us in this night. And give that all things may be done decently and in order in Thy house of prayer, that we may receive a little liberty, a little freedom to bring Thy Word, that there may be a little hunger here, that there may be a little thirst here in this evening hour, and that it may be good to be in the house of the Lord together when the Lord is in our midst. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 388, All the Stanzas. To Thee, O Lord, I humbly cry. To Thee my supplication make. To Thee I bring my sad complaint. To Thee my bitter grief I take. And we announce that the grade 12 catechism students are welcome to stop by the consistory room after the service as your books are available. Psalter 388, stanzas 1 through 5. beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus told a parable. It was the parable about a prodigal son. And we see him as he is sitting in a swine pit. It was his own fault. He had brought himself into that awful condition. But it was in that place that his thoughts returned again unto his father and unto his house. And actually to even the lowest that were in his father's house, even the servants themselves. He had sinned himself outside of that blessed place, that blessed communion with his father. And that young man, we read, said, I will arise, and I will go unto my father. How is it possible that such thoughts would come in the mind of that young man? What made him think that there was any way and that he would be received again into that house of his father? That is only because of the character of a father. It is because he was a son. And Christ in that parable does show the character of his father. That is, that there lays mercy and grace in the heart of his father for his children. And this we see exemplified in the deeds of the Father on the day of Good Friday that we hope to consider together in this evening out of the words of our text, which can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew, the 27th chapter, the first part of verse 51. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, the first part. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. So far, the words of our text. The preaching of the veil. First, in its existence. And second, in its rending. The preaching of the veil. First, in its existence. And second, in its rending. Our text speaks about a veil. What is a veil, boys and girls? A veil. That is, we would say in our language, a curtain. You have curtains in your house. And curtains are used for different purposes. We have a certain kind of curtain in the basement of the church that makes a separation between the two catechism rooms. So they make a separation, a curtain. Sometimes you have a curtain that is hanging in your window. A curtain which prevents persons from seeing in or from seeing out. That's a curtain, and that is used also to hide. It is preventing us from observing, from seeing. And now this text, in our text, it reads about a veil in the temple of God. Where does that come from?
that comes originally from the tabernacle. And the tabernacle, we know, was a preaching. The tabernacle, the entire tabernacle, was for the children of Israel a sermon. Actually, it was many sermons, and it was standing before not only the ears, but also the eyes of the children of Israel that they could see. And all those things that were in the tabernacle had from the Lord for them a very important, a very particular meaning that was for the church in her infancy. Why? Because it was a time of shadows, and you know, a shadow that makes things dark. And so they lived in a dark time, a time that they could not see very well what the meaning of God's word was. It was a time of prophecy. And we know there are some prophecies written in the Bible that are not yet fulfilled. And then we say, well, what does that prophecy mean? That is hidden to us. So many things about it. Now we know some things in general, but we do not know all the particulars. So that time that was a dark time, time of shadows. And so the Lord has given special helps unto the children of Israel in that time. Special helps that they may understand the meaning of the preaching of His holy word. And He has put those helps as figures before their eyes. They were not helps that Moses could dream up in his own mind, no. They were helps that were given by the Lord. The Lord has devised them, and the Lord has given them unto His people. And now, the temple was a replacement for the tabernacle. When the children of Israel came into their own land, when they were established in their own land, when they were not living in tents anymore, when they were not wandering from place to place, then the Lord permitted Solomon to build him a house. But that furniture that came into that temple, so the preaching, the priesthood, all the preaching of the tabernacle that entered and it remained for the children of Israel, for that church in the time of her infancy. That preaching to the children of Israel was no different in its content than the preaching today. But we do not have those same helps today as were given to the children of Israel. We are not boys and girls. We do not have a temple service. The things in that time were outward. And then they had also all kinds of musical instruments. We can read of timbrels and things. They were all outward things. And now today, the Lord takes away all those, that furniture. And why does He take that away from us? Well, He says, that should not be necessary for us anymore. That was for a church in a dark time. But He says, you do not live in a dark time. No, you live in a time of light. You live in a time when that bud that had been closed in the Old Testament, you could not see what was inside, and that bud is now opened into a beautiful flower. And when the prophecies are being fulfilled so very, very evidently, that we should not need those same kinds of helps that were given in the Old Testament. And can we not believe, with all the fulfilling of prophecies wherein it becomes so evident that it is all the word of the Lord in the Old Testament. We heard that today, yesterday, young people, that we cannot tell the future. But that was the word of the Lord in the Old Testament. We can see that so clearly today. And if we do not believe today, oh, that shows something. Do you know what that shows? That shows how dead we are. That shows how awfully hard that we are. Do we not feel that? With all that the Lord gives to us, and that we remain yet in that awful state of unbelief. What was now the preaching? What was the preaching of that tabernacle in the wilderness? Well, the tabernacle that went along with the children of Israel was a preaching of the gospel. So the children of Israel did not only have the law, but they also had the gospel. The Lord had appeared on Mount Sinai, and the Lord had thundered from Mount Sinai. That was all the Lord could do when the Lord gave His law. Because the Lord gave to them a law which was actually a broken law. And then the Lord cannot be but angry with us because that law is holy and because that law is a broken law. Because the Lord is holy and because we are sinful. Because that curse that is lying upon us. But that is not the only thing that the Lord did at Sinai. No, we read that the Lord also gave to Moses at Sinai a pattern that was given to him. We read of the tabernacle was given to him in the mount. And we read that the Lord said to Moses, look, see to it that you make everything according to that pattern. Thus Moses was not allowed to deviate away from that pattern that the Lord had given unto him. And why not? Because it was a preaching. And that preaching of God's word, the same as today, when we are forbidden to make a change in that preaching of that word. When as God's servants they must bring that word, the Lord says, add nothing thereto and take nothing away therefrom. That was also the same for Moses in that Old Testament. And now today we hear about the veil that is hanging in that temple. And that is now just one little part of the preaching of that temple and formerly that tabernacle. And yet it had such a great significance. Yet it had such a great meaning. Why? What is the purpose of a veil? What did we say, children? The purpose of a veil, that is to separate. The purpose of a veil, that is to cover. The purpose of the veil is to hide. And when we go into that temple, what is it? What is it that that veil is separating? Well, then there is a most holy place that is separated from the holy place. And into that most holy place, the high priest may only go in one time every year. And he must have with him blood. Otherwise, he goes in at the peril of his life. And then there is furniture behind that veil. Within that veil is the ark, the golden ark of God. And on top of that ark is that golden mercy seat. And upon that mercy seat are those two cherubims. And within that ark, Moses had to place that law of God. Furniture. Furniture that was forbidden to be seen by the common person. that was not allowed to be viewed by Israel at the peril of their life. So that in the wilderness, when they would go from place to place, it was necessary for the priest to cover that furniture, and so that the eyes of men would not be able to look in it. And now before this is the veil. The veil so that all that is behind the veil is hidden. What did that all mean? For the children of Israel, it was all a preaching. It was a preaching of separation. It was a preaching of separation from God Himself, because that most holy place that was a representation of the immediate presence of that holy God. Thus, a preaching of His holiness and of man's unholiness. That the Lord cannot dwell with man because man is sinful and because the Lord is not able to look upon sin. Was that always so? No, that was not always so. We know that when the Lord has made us, that man did dwell with God. Then God came unto His holy creature, and He came there in that garden to speak with him, to commune with him, and to tell His creature, His son Adam, that He had made in His own image all that lived in His own heart. Oh, what must that have been? Do our thoughts ever go back to paradise? To how that the Lord has made us, how that we were created? And that blessed communion, does your heart ever long, in the midst of all the misery that is in this world, does your heart ever long for God again? That it longs again for the way, and that the Lord has made us? But now that veil is a sermon. That veil is a preaching of separation. Thus it is a preaching of our fall, the fall of Adam. It is a preaching of the consequences of that fall of Adam. It is a preaching how that the Lord has said, Adam, you now must go out. You must go out of my presence. You must go out of my communion. Oh, it is the preaching of the loss of access, that we are not permitted anymore to come into that immediate presence of God, and that there is something that is standing in the way. Oh, it is the preaching of those cherubim that were placed at that garden, that did not allow man entrance anymore, that he may take of that tree of life. Do you know what is the preaching of that veil? That is the preaching of the justice of God, that He is not able to look through His fingers at our sin. Oh, that veil, not placed there by man, no, but placed there by the Lord to show unto man the consequences. Do you ever think about that, congregation? How evil that sin is. What are the awful consequences that sin has brought into this world? Do we ever feel? Do we ever mourn those consequences? Do we ever feel? Do we ever mourn the evil of our sin? Oh, that veil. Oh, that is hiding. That is a preaching to us. It is a preaching to us of the loss of knowledge, because we were made to know God, to know His will, and we have lost that knowledge. Do you ever feel that? Oh, do you ever say, oh, that I might know who God is? That veil, that is the preaching of misery, the misery of mankind, that we are on the outside, that we are without God in the midst of this world. Thus we have the preaching of the veil in its existence. That is the reason that that veil had to be made. And it is the reason that God Himself has given to Adam the pattern, commanding to Adam or to Moses that Moses had to make that veil just as He has commanded him to make it, in order that it may be unto the children of Israel a preaching, a sermon, so that that tabernacle was set now in the midst of that people. And now for how many? For how many of the children of Israel, when they are going through that wilderness, for how many of them was their profit from the preaching of that veil? We do not need to know that. We do not know that. They are not all Israel which are of Israel. But that question is coming unto us, because that same preaching of that misery of man is coming unto us. And then the question must be asked, oh, where is the prophet? The prophet of the preaching of the misery of man, and for us and for our children. Oh, the truth is, there is no prophet. If the Lord does not bind that upon our heart, then there is nothing that is coming from that preaching. Oh, sure, we are miserable and we complain. We complain about so many things in this world. And we do not have what we want, boys and girls. Oh, then we are complaining. We say, others have more than I do. And when we are a little sick, oh, then we are complaining. And when it does not go right in our home, does not go right in our business, oh, then there are complaints and complaints that are coming out of our heart. Oh, then we feel so miserable. But we do not see, and we do not feel, the misery that the Lord had preached unto His people, even in that Old Testament, that the Lord is declaring is the greatest misery that we are living in. That is the reason that the Lord has commanded that veil to be placed in that tabernacle and to that temple. And now that congregation has to change. If we have never mourned over that misery, then we cannot be saved. Then we cannot be delivered. Then we will never seek to be delivered from our greatest misery. And then we will never profit also from Good Friday. Does that change in the life of a man? Oh, it will change in the day of regeneration. Because then the Lord is opening to man that all the miseries that are in this world, they are not comparing to the misery of his soul. Oh, then the Lord is showing unto him that there is a veil. That there is a veil that is hanging there. And the Lord is showing that unto him by the power of the teaching of his own spirit. When that becomes his greatest misery, oh, does your soul ever begin to miss God? Do you ever feel the separation between God and your soul? Do you ever see that veil? Does your heart ever go out and missing of God, to say that is now the way that I was created, and now I miss Him. Oh, does your soul thirst for God, as the heart panteth for the water brooks? So thirsteth my soul after Thee, O God. Oh, what was that? Then the psalmist saw, the psalmist felt something of that veil, of that separation. Oh, the ignorance. Do you ever feel that? You ever feel that, boys and girls? You go to school, right? Your teacher tells you so many things. Your father and your mother, they teach you so many things. They also teach you about the Bible. Oh, do you ever think now? Does it ever now live in your young heart? Oh, that you know this in the world and you know that in the world. But do you ever say, oh Lord, I do not know Thee? Oh, do you ever miss? And do you ever desire to know that God, who is so hidden now because of that veil, do you ever see the cause? Because that veil has been caused by our own sin. Do you ever mourn that sin? Do you ever feel how that sin is now the reason that I am so far away, so separated from my Maker? Do you say, oh, I cannot miss Him. I cannot miss Him anymore. Do you ever say, oh Lord, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. We sing that sometimes. From the land beyond the Jordan, I bewail my misery. From the foothills of Mount Hermon, oh my God, I think on Thee. Oh, do you ever feel that with the psalmist, one with the psalmist? Do you ever feel one with Solomon? Then he wrote about that bride. Wrote about that bride, and that bride said, He brought me unto the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Ever jealousy in your heart? Oh, you say, what is that? What is that? To be brought into that blessed communion with God Himself. Did you ever say that with the psalmist? Oh, Lord, be not silent unto me, lest if Thou be silent unto me, I become like them who go down unto that pit. Oh, that veil. That veil, that veil. Do you ever mourn the greatest of your misery? Let us sing. 117, 1, 2, and 4. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for Thee. I thirst for Thee, for Thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come Thy gracious face to see? 1, 2, and 4 of 117. the preaching of the veil, first in its existence, second in its rending. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Thus we say the preaching of the rending of the veil. Maybe you say, boys and girls, is that a preaching? The existence of the veil, that is something that the Lord commanded had to be placed in the tabernacle, in the temple. But now the rending of the veil, is that actually preaching? Because if we think about other curtains, and if those curtains are hanging there for a long time, you say, well, they also will get old, and there comes a time that they also begin to rip and get torn. So cannot that be the same then with the veil that is in the temple? But what do we read about this veil? What do we read by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? We read, behold, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That word behold means to stop, to turn aside a moment and to see. Take notice of this, because this is not something that is just natural. This is something that is extraordinary. Behold, take notice of what has happened here. When things are worn, boys and girls, if now that curtain you have at home begins to become old and wear, that your mother or father says, well, we need a new one, how will that look? Well, you see, then on the edges, maybe, where you have handled it so many times, well, then it becomes worn in those places. That is right. And what do we read here? Do we read here that veil becomes worn on its edges? No. We read that veil that is rent in the midst. In the midst, one of the other evangelists say. That is, right in the middle. And we read here that it is rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top, where you say that rent that will begin wearing at the bottom. No, it is rent from the top unto the bottom. And at the same time that veil is rent in twain, it is rent in two parts. Behold, we read. And something else, because we read when this veil was rent, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Behold, the Lord says. Thus, the Lord would have us also to pay attention to the time that veil was rent. That is a remarkable thing, because the Lord Jesus was accused by the scribes and the Pharisees of saying, and he did not say that, but they accused him of saying, destroy this, I will destroy this temple. That is what they said. He did not say that. But that was what he was accused of. And indeed, at the moment of his death, that veil of the temple was rent from the top unto the bottom. Behold, no, this is not merely a natural thing. This is something which is supernatural. This is the work of God. This is the work of God in His own holy temple. Thus, there is a preaching in it. There is a preaching not only in its existence, but there is a preaching, there is a sermon also, a message that is in the rending of that veil. That is the very reason it is written here. The Lord Himself commanding by the inspiration of His Spirit that shall be recorded in His holy word. Thus the Lord is speaking. And what is the Lord saying by that rending? And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Oh, what does He say? Well, everything that veil stood for, is now rent. Everything that veil meant, and the reason that the Lord had placed it there, is now taken away. Is that not something? Thus, what did we say, children, that veil meant? Oh, there was a separation. There was a separation between a holy God and a sinful people. That people could not come to dwell in the presence of God. And now the Lord Himself makes a declaration. In the death of His Son, that the Lord is taking away now, that separation between Himself and His own sinful people. Oh, that veil that spoke about what is hidden, hidden in the counsels of God. And now the most important counsel of God, that is now exposed. The Lord opens it up that His people may receive a blessed entrance into the mind of the Father, that they may be brought back into that communion with the Father. And now there is more, because we read tonight how that the Apostle Paul speaks to the Hebrews. And he speaks about a new and a living way that He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. A new and a consecrated way. Thus, in the rending of that veil, the Lord declares all those Old Testament ceremonies to be finished. He declares the death of His Son to be the accomplishment, the fulfillment of all of that ceremonial law. That He is bringing all that law unto an end. That is the preaching of the rending of the veil, not by man, but by the Lord Himself. And now if you go to the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, then Paul declares to the Ephesians that there was in this a breaking down of the middle wall of partition. What is that? The middle wall of partition. Well, the middle wall of partition was a wall that was separating the Jews from the Gentiles. And what was that wall? That was the ceremonies. The Lord had given to the children of Israel, His own people, ceremonies. He had given to them the gospel. He had preached unto them that separation. And He had preached unto them the way that separation could be taken away. And that was now a wall. Because the Gentiles, they did not have that same preaching as those Jews had. And then we read even the law of ceremonies contained in ordinances, so that is that ceremonial law, that, he broke it down, that he might reconcile both, that is, the Jews and the Gentiles. He may reconcile both of them to God in one body, one church, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace, to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Thus we have the preaching of the rending of the veil. It has in a very special way to do with those whom Paul says are far off. Well, you say he speaks also about those who are nigh, and that is true too. It is a message for those who are nigh. Who are nigh? Who are nigh? Jewish people. Jewish people. They had those ceremonies. They had the preaching of the veil. And not only the preaching of the veil, but the preaching, the rest of that tabernacle, there was the altar of burnt offering, and there was the laver, and speaks about justification and sanctification, and the table of showbread and the candlestick. All of them were preaching of the way, even the priesthood, the way that that people could be received back unto God. That veil was not open yet, no, but that priest went behind that veil once every year with blood, and there was a preaching unto that Jewish people. Thus Christ was displayed to that Jewish people 40 years in the wilderness and then in the temple after they had come to that land of rest. Oh, that way. That way, the truth and the life was preached unto them. But it was not preached unto the Gentiles. It was not preached unto the rest of the heathen. Oh, poor people. Poor people. Because they also had a conscience. They also could see, and Paul says, they are without excuse when they see all the creation and they know that God exists and they know that they have to appear before Him, and their conscience that is testifying that they have to give an answer and that they are guilty, but no way to know. No way to know how they may again return unto the Lord. Oh, excluded. Excluded. Those heathen, those Gentiles on the outside. Oh, do we understand that, young people? No means. No means of grace. That's what it meant for those Gentiles. And when there are no means of grace, oh, then there is for us no grace. Because the means of grace, that is what the Lord is giving to us, that it may be used, blessed, sanctified for our true conversion. And now what does the Lord do? In the death of His Son, He rends that veil. He breaks it in two pieces. He takes away that middle wall of partition between that Jewish people and that Gentile people. And He declares that there is now a new way, a living way. And that way that will be preached not only unto the Jews, but it will be preached unto all the world, every nation in the world. And when that veil is now rent, Do you know what that means? That means it will also come to Canada. It will also come to Canada, to America, to the heathen, to those who are afar off. That is what the rending of that veil does preach unto us. The Jews did not receive the meaning of that rending of the veil, because that rending of the veil meant that that middle wall of partition was taken down. All those ceremonies were to cease, but they did not receive that. That meant that it was now fulfilled, but they did not receive and do not receive Him yet, in whom that it was fulfilled. And why not? What is now one of the greatest hindrances to the Jews from receiving the preaching of the rending of the veil? You know what was hindering them? How close they were. How close they were. You know what they said? They said, "We are the children of Abraham. We are the children of Abraham." Oh, they place themselves being so close. The Lord says, "They are not all Israel which are of Israel. They are not all the true people of their Lord. They are not all in the invisible church that are in the visible church." Just because you are in that visible church and you are so close. And what did they do, the Jewish people? They placed themselves on the inside. Oh, they made a presumption because they were so close. And they said, "We now are the true children of the Lord." Oh, that is the same thing that is standing so in the way of that visible church also in the days in which we are living. Oh, it is a presumption. We look around us at the heathen. We look around us at the Gentiles. We look around us at those who say they do not have the truth. And we have the truth. Oh, what a wonder. What a wonder. But that does not bring us on the inside. No. And that is now one of the things that is so often coming between, that is keeping us actually on the outside of that kingdom of God. The preaching of the veil. Do you know who that is a preaching to in a special way? That is a preaching to those who are, Paul says, far off. Far off. That is a preaching to those who have been excluded. The Jews, the Gentiles. It is a preaching in a special way. It is directed in a special way to those who are standing on the outside. Oh, they are on the outside. They do not belong. Oh, they look with longing. They do not belong unto the true people of the Lord. Oh, they say, "I am outside of it. I am outside of that true church of God. I have a heathen heart. I have a Gentile heart. I sit under the Word of God. I go to church from week unto week. But I have a heart that is wicked. And I do not belong unto that true people of the Lord." And then they are looking and looking and looking from that outside. Oh, then they are asked if the Lord would give unto them that favor that He beareth unto His own people. You read of those people in the Bible, don't you? You read about a Ruth, the Moabitess. Oh, she belongs to a people who are not the Lord's people. No, they are actually the enemies of the Lord's people. Oh, then she is standing on the outside. She is standing for herself so far away. And then she is looking. She is looking at her mother-in-law. And then she sees the grace. She sees the blessings. Oh, she looks, as it were, into her heart. And she longs with desire that she also may receive the same. And then from the outside, oh, she is saying, thy people, my people, thy God, my God. Oh, it was not so for her, but she longed for it. She desired it, and she clung and clung unto her mother-in-law. Oh, Ruth. Oh, you see also a Rahab. A Rahab, she is looking. Oh, she is yearning. She looks at that true people of the Lord. She does not belong to them. She is on the outside of all the blessings that the Lord is giving unto His people. She says, I have a heathen's heart. I have a Gentile heart. I have a wicked heart. I have an harlot's heart. And now I am on the outside of it. And she says now to those spies, Oh, you blessed people. Oh, she says, your God. Your God. He is the God of heaven. He is the God of the earth. And He is not my God. He is your God. Oh, could I have Him also for my own God? Oh, will you spare me? Will you spare my life that I may also be received among that true people of the Lord? Oh, congregation, do you feel it? Do you desire also with a Rahab, with that wicked heart, with a Gentile heart, with a sinner heart? Oh, do you desire, do you look? And then from the outside of that people, then you say, it is my own fault. I am on the outside of it because I have sinned everything away. Even as that prodigal, he has sinned everything away. And now I sit here in that pit and I am not able to deliver myself. Oh, do you stand with desire? Do you stand with longing? On the outside of that people, in all your wretchedness, in all your misery, you read it out in the Bible, there were 10 lepers, and there was only one. Of all those 10, he stood on the outside. You say, all there was. The man you would not want to be. That was the man you would not want to be. Samaritan. And that man felt that. He said, that would be no wonder if the Lord would not look on me. Would not look on me. When I will cry to Him like all these other 9, because they are Jews. They belong to the people of the Lord. But I am on the outside. Oh, what a wonder that it would be if the Lord would look on such a one as I am, that woman of Canaan. What was she? What was she in her own estimation? She was on the outside of it. Oh, she was in herself a dog. A dog. That centurion. Oh, he stood on the outside of it. Lord, You may go into the house of all the Jewish people, but I am a Gentile, and I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. And now for that people, especially directed unto that people, is the preaching of the rending of the veil. To such persons, that is not a preaching that is from men. That was done by the Father. The Father Himself has rent that veil from the top unto the bottom. And how has He done that? He has done that by the cross of His dear Son. By His dear Son. By the death of His Son. By the rending of His flesh. To open up now the way for a people who are on the outside by their own fault, that they are excluded by the justice of God, and now that the justice of God may stand on the side of that people, and that they may be brought in unto that blessed communion with the Father. That they may be received again with the love of the Father. Oh, then He is looking as He was looking for that prodigal. And then He saw him. He saw him when he was yet afar off. And He ran to meet him because that veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou bring them in who stand on the outside by our own fault, but thou hast made a way where there was no way, or open the eyes of those that do long, and do show unto them, to reveal unto them thy blessed and holy will for those who have rebelled against thee, who do not deserve to be in thy communion, but who are received again so freely through the blood of thy dear Son. Do bless thy word, forgive all of our iniquity. Bring us safely to our places, and be with us when we hope to be together in thy house again upon thy day. Give profit for our souls, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 228, 1, 2, and 3. O God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear in what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of 228.
blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.